Hello everyone, this is Chapter 3, Squares and Arrows. The room was on the 7th floor, as Rainey had suspected. The door had no sign on it, but after roaming the empty hallways and looking at all the other door signs, there was a 7A, a 7C, a 7D, and a 7E, they returned to the unmarked door, upon which Kate knocked boldly. After a pause, she knocked again, still more loudly. This happened several times before they got a response, which, as it happened, came not from behind the door, but from directly behind them.
"That's enough with the knocking," said a deep voice quite close.
The children whirled around in surprise. Before them stood a tall man in a weather-beaten hat, a weather-beaten jacket, weather-beaten trousers, and weather-beaten boots. His ruddy cheeks were dark with whisker stubble, while his hair, what little peeked from beneath his hat, was yellow as flax. If not for the alertness in his ocean blue eyes, he would resemble, more than anything, a scarecrow that had come down from its stake. On top of all this, the man's expression was profoundly sad. All the children noticed this at once. Rainey was so struck by it that instead of saying hello, he asked, "Are you all right, sir?"
"I'm afraid not," the man said, "but that's neither here nor there. Are you ready to begin the next test?"
"But we haven't even met yet," Kate said, sticking out her hand. "My name's Kate Weatherall, though my friends call me..." She glanced at the boys, who looked at her doubtfully. "Well, my friends call me Kate." The man shook Kate's hand, somewhat reluctantly. Even his handshake seemed sad. He hardly squeezed at all. The boys introduced themselves, and the man sadly shook their hands too.
"There," he said, "we've met. Now..."
"But you haven't given us your name," Kate insisted. The man sighed, considering this.
"Call me Milligan," he said at last.
"Is that your first name or your last name?"
"Just Milligan. And no more questions. We have to proceed. Now, which of you is George?"
Kate scowled. She was getting very impatient with this man. "Weren't you listening? Our names are Sticky, Rainey, and Kate."
Sticky cleared his throat.
Well, actually, my name is George. Sticky's my nickname."
"Your name is George Washington?" Kate said. "Like the president? The father of our country?"
"It isn't that unusual," Sticky said defensively. "You don't have to tease me about it."
"Take it easy, pal," said Kate. "I wasn't teasing you."
Clearly, Sticky was a bit touchy about his name.
"Sticky, or George, whichever it is," said Milligan. "You're to go first. Step through that door now and shut it behind you."
Sticky's eyes grew wide.
"I have to go in alone?"
"It's all right. It's only a test. The others will be with you soon."
"Good luck, Sticky," Rainey said, clapping him on the shoulder.
"I'm sure you'll do fine."
"Go, Sticky," said Kate.
Sticky removed his spectacles, polished them, and replaced them. After a moment's consideration, he removed them and began polishing again. There seemed to be a speck on the lens he couldn't remove.
"Quit stalling," Milligan said. "Nothing's going to harm you in that room."
At last, Sticky nodded, settled his glasses on his nose, tucked away his polishing cloth, and passed through the door. Milligan closed it behind him and went away without a word.
"How do you like that?" Kate said.
"He didn't even tell us what to do, or how long it would take, or anything."
"Big surprise," said Rainey.
Soon Milligan came back and announced that it was Rainey's turn. He gave no hint about what had happened to Sticky. "See you on the other side," said Kate, "wherever that is." Rainey took a deep breath and went in, the door closing behind him. He found himself in an empty room. On the opposite wall, above another closed door, hung a large sign that read, across the room without setting foot on a blue or black square.
Rainey looked down. On the cement floor, just inside the door, where he now stood, was a large red circle. On the other side of the room, by the opposite door, was another red circle. Between these circles, the floor resembled a giant checkerboard with alternating rectangles of blue, black, and yellow. Rainey studied the pattern. There was far more blue and black than yellow. So much more, in fact, that he soon realized it would be impossible to cross the room without stepping on blue or black. The yellow parts were so widely scattered that he doubted even a kangaroo could hop from one to the other. He looked at the sign again, and after a moment's consideration, he laughed and shook his head. Then he strode confidently across the room into the other red circle and out the far door. Sticky and Milligan stood waiting for him beyond the door. They had been watching him secretly through tiny holes in the wall. Sticky looked confused and started to ask Rainey something, but Milligan shushed him.
"You boys can watch, but you must be quiet," he said.
He went away to tell Kate it was her turn. Moments later, they saw Kate step boldly into room 7B. After reading the sign, she studied the floor, considering whether she might manage to leap from yellow to yellow. At last, she shook her head, rejecting the idea. Next, she looked from one door to the other, gauging the distance. Then, taking the length of rope from her bucket, she fastened a loop at the end and with one expert throw, lassoed the doorknob at the far side of the room. Fastening the other end to the doorknob behind her, she pulled the rope tight, knotted it securely, and climbed up. "Now, if only I had that paddle," she said aloud to herself as she walked along the rope. "I could hold it out in front of me for balance." Indeed, a paddle might have helped, for halfway across the room she nearly fell. The boys caught their breath. But after wobbling back and forth and wheeling her arms around, she recovered. After a few more careful steps, she hopped down into the other red circle.
"Wow," Sticky whispered, "she did it."
But before Kate could join the boys, Milligan appeared and took her back to the starting point to try again, this time without her rope, which he informed her would be returned upon completion of the test.
"That's hardly fair," Sticky whispered. "Nobody told her she couldn't use a rope."
Kate, meanwhile, was removing all the items from her bucket and stuffing them into her pockets. When she'd finished, her pockets bulging ridiculously, she unscrewed the handle from her bucket and tucked it through her belt. Then she was ready. Kicking the bucket onto its side, she hopped onto it and began rolling it forward with her feet, like a circus bear balancing on a ball. Rolling first this way and then that, she zigzagged across the room to the other red circle. Rainey and Sticky looked at each other in awe. Who was this girl? Yet once again, as Kate reattached the bucket handle and emptied her pocket, Milligan entered the room. He returned her to the starting circle, this time taking away her bucket and tools, which she handed over with evident reluctance. She recovered quickly, however. Before Milligan had even closed the door behind him, Kate shrugged and cracked her knuckles, flattened her palms against the cement, and lifted her feet into the air above her. And this was how she crossed the room, walking on her hands, not once setting foot upon the floor.
"Never mind," said Milligan when she opened the door. He handed her bucket back. "You pass."
"What I don't understand," Sticky was saying to Rainey as they followed Milligan down a dark stairway, "is how you passed that test. I'm glad, of course, but I don't see how you did it. I crossed on my hands and knees so my feet didn't touch any blue or black squares. And Kate did her acrobat tricks, but you just walked right across the room. You were stepping on dark squares left and right."
They had reached the bottom of the stairs now. Milligan ushered the children into a damp, dimly lit underground passage where centipedes twisted away at their approach
and other slithery creatures they heard but didn't see retreated into the shadows. By this gloomy route, he was leading them to what he had called their final testing place, which struck Rainey as having a particularly ominous sound.
"Just walked right across?" said Kate.
"Rainey, how did you get away with that?"
"It was another trick. Those weren't squares on the floor. They were rectangles. Their sides weren't all the same length."
"Gosh, that's true," Kate reflected. Sticky slapped his forehead. "I got my pants dirty for nothing. I crawled across the floor like a baby. For nothing? I'm so stupid. I can't believe they're letting me go on."
"You're hardly stupid," Rainey said. "You're here, aren't you?"
"Just where is here, anyway?" Kate asked.
"Hey, Milligan, where are we?"
Without looking back or slowing down, Milligan said,
"Right now, we're passing under Fifth Street."
"I don't suppose we could walk above ground, could we?" Sticky asked. "Where there's sunlight and the path isn't wet? Where it doesn't smell like spoiled fish?"
"Where creepy things don't keep falling on our heads?" Rainey asked with a shudder, brushing away a beetle that had tried to skitter under his shirt collar.
"Sunlight just ahead," Milligan replied.
And sure enough, presently he led them up another set of stairs into an empty cellar, then through the cellar doors onto a quiet street lined with elm trees and old houses. The children couldn't see this right away. It took a moment for their eyes to adjust to the brilliant sunlight. And in that moment, Milligan disappeared. They had followed him out through the cellar doors. They knew that for certain. But whereas Milligan had been tall and straight in his battered hat and scuffed jacket, the children were now accompanied by a stooped little man with a big belly, wearing dark glasses and a bright yellow cap.
"Who are you?" Kate cried, crouching into a defensive stance. "Where's Milligan?"
"Right here," the man said wearily, lowering his sunglasses to reveal a pair of sad, ocean blue eyes. "I'm in disguise."
The children regarded him closely. It was indeed Milligan. Somehow, without their noticing, he had stuffed his hat and jacket under his shirt to create the impression of a fat belly, had produced the cap and sunglasses, from where they couldn't guess, and hunched his shoulders and bent forward to appear shorter than he was. It was a remarkable transformation.
"Are you a magician?" Sticky asked.
"I'm nobody," Milligan replied.
And without further explanation, he pointed across the street to a three-story house with stone steps leading up to its front door.
"Please go and wait on those steps. Rhonda will be with you soon."
"Rhonda Kazembe?" Rainey asked. "The green-haired girl?"
But even as he spoke, the cellar doors slammed shut, and Milligan was gone.
"Do you suppose we're going to meet anybody normal today?" Kate asked.
"I'm beginning to doubt it," Rainey said. The children went across the street and through the gate of the house Milligan had pointed out. It was a very old house, with gray stone walls, high arched windows, and a roof with red shingles that glowed like embers in the afternoon sun. Roses grew along the iron fence, and near the house towered a gigantic elm tree, perhaps older than the building itself, its green leaves tinged with the first yellows of autumn. Shaded by the elm's branches were an ivy-covered courtyard and the stone steps upon which they were to wait. The steps themselves were half-covered with ivy. They seemed an inviting place to rest. And indeed, it was with some relief that the children, tired from the day's challenges, sat upon them now in the cool shade of the elm.
"Sticky," Rainey said when they had settled, "there's something I wanted to ask you about your parents. Did they know that..."
"We already talked about this, remember?" Sticky said, interrupting him. Turning to Kate, he explained, "That yellow lady gave Rainey and me the runaround when we told her we had some phone calls to make. Rainey was afraid his tutor would be worried, and it was the same with me and my parents.
Turns out she called them, but she was very odd about it. Very odd indeed. Did that happen to you?
This was not what Rainey had been going to ask about. He had wanted to ask if Sticky's parents knew he'd spent half the night looking for the Monk building. For some reason, Sticky was avoiding that subject.
I didn't have anybody to call, said Kate with a shrug. My mother died when I was a baby, and my father ran away and left me when I was 2.
Sticky's face fell. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Don't worry, Kate said lightly. I don't even remember them.
She paused, reflecting. Actually, I do have one memory of my father.
That's one more than I have, said Rainey. What is it?
Well, down the road from our house was an old mill pond, and my father took me there to swim once. I was only 2, but a good swimmer. The water was cold, the day was warm, and I thought it all felt wonderful. I laughed and splashed until I was exhausted. Then my father, I can't picture his face, but I can still feel his strong arms lifting me out of the water. He carried me on his shoulders back to our house. I remember asking if we could swim there again, and he said,
"Of course we can, Katie Cat."
I remember that very well. He called me Katie Cat.
You never went back to the mill pond, did you? Asked Sticky, looking even more regretful now that he'd heard Kate's story.
No, the next thing I remember, I was in an orphanage, said Kate.
Rainey shook his head. It's strange, Kate. Your father sounds, well, he sounds like a nice man, finished Kate.
I know, I've often thought of that. I guess it shows that people aren't always what they seem. Or else he just changed. I suppose I'll never know.
It's terrible, Sticky whispered, almost as if to himself.
Hey, it's okay, Kate said cheerfully. That was a long time ago. Anyway, I've had a fine life. The circus has been good to me.
Rainey widened his eyes and glanced at Sticky, but Sticky seemed too disturbed to have noticed what Kate said. Rainey looked back at Kate.
Did you just say the circus has been good to you?
Oh, yes, said Kate with a laugh.
When I was 7, I ran away from the orphanage to join the circus. They brought me back, but I just ran away again, and I kept running every time they brought me back. Eventually, it was agreed that I could join the circus and save everybody a lot of trouble. So that's what I've been doing the past few years. It's been great fun, too. But I was ready for something different. When I read about these tests, I said adios to my circus pals, and here I came.
That's quite a life, Rainey said, more than a little amazed.
And has circus life helped then? You haven't ever missed your parents?
He was always curious about how other orphans felt. His own parents were never known to him, and so he didn't miss them in particular. But on rainy days, or days when other children taunted him, or nights when he awoke from a bad dream and could use a hug and perhaps a story to lull him back to sleep. At times like these, he didn't miss his parents exactly, but he did wish for them.
Kate, apparently, felt otherwise. What's to miss? She said breezily. Like I said, I don't even remember my mother, and who wants a father who'll run away and leave his baby daughter all by herself? I'd much rather spend my time with elephants and clowns, she frowned.
Sticky, what's wrong with you?
Throughout their conversation, Sticky's expression had grown more and more dejected, his big eyes sadder and sadder, so that at last his face had taken on the exact gloomy look of that miserable man, Milligan. Rainey put his hand on Sticky's shoulder.
Hey, are you all right?
Oh, yes, Sticky said unconvincingly. I was just, feeling sorry for Kate. It must be terrible to think you weren't wanted.
Kate laughed, a bit stiffly, it seemed to Rainey, and said, Weren't you listening, chum? I told you, I'm having a ball.
She went on to regale them with stories about circus life. hanging from trapezes, leaping through flaming hoops, getting shot from cannons, until gradually Sticky cheered up and the matter of parents was dropped. They had been waiting on the steps for perhaps an hour and were beginning to grumble about how hungry they were when the front door opened and Rhonda Kazembe appeared. At least they thought it was Rhonda Kazembe. She did have the same features and coal black skin, and she was the same height as Rhonda, but gone were the puffy white dress and long green hair. Instead, her hair hung in lovely dark braids all about her face, and she wore a smart blue jumper and sandals. When she saw them on the steps, she laughed with pleasure. "Hi, kids. Remember me?"
"Rhonda, is it really you?" Sticky asked.
"I hope so," she replied. "Otherwise, someone's played a very clever trick on me."
When Rhonda sat down with them and Rainey had a closer look at her, he realized something that he'd missed before.
"You're not even a child," he exclaimed. "You're a grown-up."
"Well," said Rhonda,
"a very small, very young grown-up. Yes."
"I knew you were hiding something with that funny getup, but I thought it had to do with the cheating."
"No," said Rhonda, laughing again. "It was just to call attention away from my age and to distract you in general."
"I have an idea," said Kate, whose stomach was growling loudly. "Why don't you give us some food and tell us what this is all about?"
"Soon, Kate, very soon. There remains one more test, but after that, whether you pass or fail, I promise you all will get a good supper. Fair enough?"
"It's a deal," Kate said.
"Then let's begin. When I tell you to, each of you must go through this front door. At the very back of the house is a staircase. You are to reach the staircase as quickly as possible, hurry up the stairs, and ring the bronze bell that hangs at the top. Speed is important, so don't dawdle. Any questions?"
"Will this test be any harder than the last one?" Kate asked, with a show of bravado.
"Some find it quite difficult," said Rhonda, "but you should all be able to do it with your eyes closed."
"Will it be scary?" Sticky asked, almost in a whisper.
"Maybe, but it isn't really dangerous," Rhonda said, which did nothing for Sticky's confidence.
"Who goes first?" Rainey asked.
"That's an easy one," Rhonda answered. "You."
It had been a day full of challenges, all of which Rainey had met successfully, and when he stepped through the front door, he was brimming with confidence. By this point, he knew there would be some kind of trick involved, and knowing this, he felt sure he'd be ready for it. He found himself in a brightly lit room with pitch black walls. The front door, which Rhonda had closed behind him, had no knob on the inside and was likewise painted black so that it blended into the wall. The room was rather cramped, perhaps 6 feet wide and 6 long. Kate would know for sure, he thought, and was entirely empty. Not counting the nearly invisible front door behind him, it had 3 exits, to the left, to the right, and immediately before him. These doorways had no doors in them, and the rooms beyond were unlit so that Rainey couldn't see into them. "Are we expected to walk into dark rooms?" he wondered. "This is going to make Sticky extremely unhappy." But he was only thinking of Sticky to take his mind off himself, for the prospect of groping about in the darkness intimidated him more than he cared to admit. "Well," he said aloud to bolster his courage, "there's no time to waste, so here goes." He plunged through the doorway ahead of him. This ought to be the most direct path to the rear of the house, and, as if by magic, seemed to walk into the very room he had just left. It was cramped, brightly lit, painted black, and he could see a dark doorway in each wall. "What in the world?" he said, turning to look behind him. Then in confusion, turning round again. At once, he realized his mistake. If he hadn't turned around, he might have kept his bearings. But now, he'd lost them. He was in a maze of identical rooms. Everything looked exactly the same in every direction.
His confidence was quickly draining away. "Now think," he told himself. "When you enter a room, its light must turn on automatically, and when you leave, it goes off. But there are light switches by each door. Perhaps if you throw a switch, the light stays on. It might be as simple as that." With a quick inspection of the nearest doorway, however, this hope vanished. What Rainey had supposed were light switches were only decorative wooden panels. He was about to turn away and try to retrace his steps when it occurred to him the panels themselves might be important. He took a closer look at one. About the size of a playing card, the panel had four arrows etched into it, pointing in different directions and painted different colors. A blue arrow pointed to the right, a green one to the left, a wiggly-shaped yellow one straight ahead, and a purple one down. "Of course," Rainey thought, feeling foolish. "These arrows weren't for decoration. They were meant to show the way." But which was he to believe? After going round to every panel, he was no better off. Four doorways with four arrows each meant 16 arrows to choose from, and there was no apparent pattern. Rainey racked his brain. Should he follow the green ones? Green arrows on a traffic signal mean go. But perhaps that was too obvious. Perhaps the red arrows were the ones to follow. Perhaps that was the trick. Yet that hardly seemed fair. What if he'd been colorblind and couldn't even tell the difference? No sooner had this occurred to him than he knew the secret. Running his finger over the carved arrows in the panel before him, Rainey smiled. The only one you could know by touch would be the wiggly-shaped one. What was it that Rhonda had said to Kate? "You should be able to do it with your eyes closed." It had seemed she was offering encouragement. Actually, she was offering them a clue. Even in the dark, even with his eyes closed, Rainey could feel the panels with his fingers and find the wiggly-shaped arrow. Just to be certain, he hurried around the room, checking the panels. Sure enough, though the other arrows followed no particular pattern, the wiggly arrows all directed him toward the same door, the one whose wiggly arrow pointed straight ahead. Rainey took a deep breath, hoped for the best, and charged through. The next room looked exactly the same, but this time the wiggly arrows indicated the door on his right. He took it. By the time he'd gone through 10 rooms in this way, Rainey had no idea where in the house he was. He might have been at the front door again and would not have known it. Or he might be in the very middle of the maze. And with the walls painted black as they were, if all the lights went out, he would be in utter darkness. Suddenly, he wondered if they intended to turn the lights out on him as part of the test. The thought started an uncomfortable flutter in his belly. But just as he began to worry, he entered a room and stumbled smack into a staircase. With a shout of triumph, he raced up the stairs onto a narrow landing, found the bronze bell Rhonda had told them about, and rang it. There was a sound of quick footsteps coming downstairs. Then a door unlocked, and out came the pencil woman with a stopwatch in hand. She examined it and said, 6 minutes, 14 seconds. "Is that good?" Rainey asked. Without answering, she said, "Please close your eyes and stand still." Something about this made Rainey uneasy. Had he done so badly? Was this meant to test his courage? He did as he was told, closing his eyes and bracing himself as best he could. "Why are you flinching?" the pencil woman asked. "I don't know. I thought maybe you were going to slap me." "Don't be ridiculous. I could slap you perfectly well with your eyes open. I'm only going to blindfold you." Having done so, she led Rainey down the stairs again. With her hand on his shoulder, the pencil woman guided him back through the maze into the first room, where she removed the blindfold. Starting the stopwatch, she said, "Please go ring the bell again." This time it was easy. Rainey trotted through the rooms, glancing at the panels for guidance, and in a few short minutes had rung the bell again. The pencil woman came up behind him, reading her stopwatch. 3 minutes even.
she said. She led him up more stairs into his sitting room and pointed him toward a sofa. Does this mean I pass? We ask you to complete the maze a second time to see if you've actually solved it. We need to make sure you didn't just come upon the staircase by luck. If you've discovered the secret, you should be much faster the second time around, which you were. Therefore, you seem to have solved the maze. Therefore, you pass. Therefore, interrupting herself, she took a cracker from her pocket and ate it very quickly, as if she hadn't eaten in days and couldn't wait another moment. Rainey cocked his head curiously. But why did you have me go through again when you could have just asked me? I could have told you the secret, you know. You'd be surprised how few children have pointed that out, said the pencil woman as she moved toward the door. You mean you wondered whether I'd noticed that? The pencil woman winked. And now we know, don't we? She hurried from the room, leaving Rainey alone on the sofa. He was getting used to her abrupt entrances and exits. Still, it was strange to find himself in an unknown house, sitting on this sofa by himself. He looked around the room. The walls were lined with books, many of them in languages he didn't recognize. In one corner stood an old piano, in another, a marvelous green globe. Rainey went to look at the globe. If the others took as long as he did to finish the maze, it would be some time before he had company. He might as well entertain himself. But hardly had he given the globe a single spin. He hadn't even located Stonetown Harbor on it yet. When he heard the bell clanging outside on the stairway landing, it rang and rang, very loudly and with no sign of stopping. And from this, he gathered it was Kate at the bell. Sure enough, within a few moments, the ringing had ceased, and the pencil woman had led Kate into the sitting room to join him. Kate was grinning ear to ear. The pencil woman had a hand to her forehead, as if perhaps all the bell ringing had given her a headache. She doesn't have to go through a second time? Rainey asked, surprised. No point, said the pencil woman, and left them there, alone. What do you mean, a second time? Kate asked. I had to finish it twice to prove I'd solved it. But you got through so fast, I suppose it would be hard to do it any faster. Not as long as I have my bucket with me, Kate agreed. After turning this over in his mind a few times, Rainey gave up and said, Okay, what did your bucket have to do with you getting through the maze? Well, of course, I saw right away that I was in a maze, and I knew that I had to get to the opposite side of the house. So I looked around for a heating vent. A heating vent? Sure. And there in the floor of the very first room, I saw one. So I got out my army knife screwdriver and removed the grate and squeezed down into the heating duct. It was a tight fit, I'll tell you. Had to tie my bucket to my foot and pull it along behind me. Those old ducts run all over the house, but the central duct runs more or less in a straight line to the back. So, with my flashlight in one hand and my army knife in the other, I just followed it all the way there, pried up the vent, and popped out by the staircase. I sort of had to bend the grate on the last one. I think maybe old Yellow Suit's mad about that. I bet she'll forgive you. Don't you think? It's not like it'll be hard to fix. Only a little one-by-one grate. Hey, this is an impressive globe. For a while, the two of them entertained themselves finding places on the globe, but eventually they'd had enough of it, and Sticky Washington had yet to appear. Kate went over to the piano and tried to play it. The keys made no sound. Together, they lifted the lid and looked inside. The piano strings had been removed, and in their place were more books. These people certainly have a lot of reading to do, Kate observed. Oh well, no great loss. I only know chopsticks anyway. Almost 20 minutes had passed, and still no sign of Sticky. Kate began to sort through the items in her bucket, making sure each was in its proper place. She had found an arrangement that kept her things secure and within easy reach, and she was very particular about it. She was the sort of person who liked to be constantly busy, Rainey realized. She hadn't much use for idleness. which reminded him of something he wanted to ask her. "You know, Kate, something's been nagging me. You told us you carry all these things around in your bucket because they're useful, right?"
"Absolutely," Kate replied.
"Then why the kaleidoscope? It's interesting to look through, maybe, but how is it useful?" Kate stopped double-checking the things in her bucket and gave Rainey a searching look. At last, she nodded. "You know, I think I can trust you. I can already tell. All right, here's the secret." She took out the kaleidoscope and popped off its colorful prismatic lens. Only then did Rainey see that the prismatic lens had been concealing a different lens beneath.
"The kaleidoscope is a spyglass in disguise," Kate explained. "It's a good spyglass, and I wouldn't want anyone to steal it. The kaleidoscope, on the other hand, is rather a bad kaleidoscope. I don't think it would tempt anyone."
The very idea of disguising a good spyglass with a bad kaleidoscope made Rainey laugh with pleasure.
"It's terrific," he cried.
Kate wasn't sure what Rainey was laughing about, but she was eminently agreeable, and before long, she was laughing with him. When Rainey had taken a good look at the spyglass, Kate tucked it away again and flopped onto the sofa.
"Do you think Sticky's ever going to finish? I'm having a fine time and all, but I'm about to drop dead from hunger."
In answer to her question, the bell rang, only once, and almost imperceptibly, as if Sticky had just tapped it with his fingernails. Through the closed door, they heard the pencil woman speaking in her brusque way, then an embarrassed murmur that must have been Sticky's response. After a moment, all was silent again. Again, they waited.
"Shouldn't be long now," Rainey said. "It's easy once you've figured out the secret. It only took me 3 minutes the second time through."
3 minutes soon passed, however, then four, then five. Not until almost 15 minutes had gone by did the bell ring again, just as softly as before. A moment later, the door opened, and Sticky entered the room with the pencil woman behind him. He gave a great smile when he saw Rainey and Kate, not so much because he'd finished the test, but because he was relieved to have company again.
"Congratulations," said the pencil woman. "You all pass."
The children cheered and clapped each other on the backs, and when they were done cheering and clapping, they realized that the pencil woman had left them yet again.
"She's awfully fond of leaving, isn't she?" asked Kate. "I never saw anybody who left so much. I suppose she expects us to wait again?"
"Maybe Rhonda's coming for us," Rainey said.
"I hope so. Otherwise, I'm going to have to eat some of these books."
"Sticky, what on earth took you so long? Didn't you know how hungry I was?" Sticky seemed about to cry. He was reaching for his spectacles when he saw Kate was only teasing him. Then he smiled and shrugged.
"I had to go through twice."
"So did Rainey, but he said there's some kind of secret that gets you through faster. So why did it take you so long the second time?"
It was a little faster," Sticky protested. "Now, what's this secret you're talking about?"
"The secret to getting through the maze," Rainey said. "You know, the arrows."
"Arrows? You mean the ones on those panels?"
Rainey gave Kate a look of amazement, but Kate replied,
"Don't look at me. I don't know anything about arrows, remember? I took a shortcut."
"That's true," he said. "Sticky, if you didn't use the arrows, how did you get through?" Sticky shuffled his feet and said,
"I just kept trying one door after the other until finally I found the staircase. It was sheer luck."
"And you found it more quickly the second time? That's the really lucky part, I guess."
"Oh, no. That part was easy," Sticky said. "I just remembered how I got through the first time. First, I took a right, then a left, then straight ahead, then right again, then left again, then right, then straight ahead, and so on, until I came to the staircase. I didn't have to waste time scratching my head over those panels or worrying they were going to turn the lights off, or any of that stuff. I just hurried through,
exactly as I did before.
Exactly as you, Kate began, then just shook her head. That's incredible.
Rainey laughed. You did it the hard way, Sticky.
What's the easy way?
Follow the wiggly arrows.
Oh, Sticky said thoughtfully. That would have been useful to know.